Our first scripture reading is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 51st chapter, and we read verses 1 through 6. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her. Thanksgiving, the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out for me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. Coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment. They who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever. And my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 11. And we read verses 33 through chapter 12, verse 8. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable are his ways. Or who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? From him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning at verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you, from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for this morning, and in particular, the words of Jesus. "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" This is our text. I've preached on this text many times before, usually focusing on the different opinions about God circulating within Christian churches today. For instance, in some Christian churches, he's viewed as a God who does all kinds of miraculous healings and gives you gifts like speaking in tongues. In a lot of liberal churches today, Jesus is, well, not even resurrected physically from the dead. There are just so many opinions about who Jesus is in our world today that you could probably take one opinion each week for a dozen weeks and still not exhaust all the opinions about Jesus. But in our particular situation right now, there's another question that some people are asking about Jesus. What kind of God lets this happen to people? I mean, we are all exhausted. We have trees, sometimes on our roofs and sometimes even in our living rooms and bathrooms. And quite frequently I hear ambulances and fire trucks I see taking off to different spots around the city. My usual guess is there's another chainsaw accident that's gone on. Why does God let these things happen? Who is he? Anyway, and in other kinds of horrific events in life, that question is asked of God. What kind of God are you that lets this or that happen to people? Who do you say the Son of Man is? When we look to the cross of Jesus Christ, we know what kind of God he is. A God who does love his people so much that he would send his own Son to give his life, that ours might be restored. A God who loves us so much, even when we have been rebellious against him, that he would have his Son take the punishment we deserve, so that God might speak to us another word, forgiveness. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? When Jesus first asked the question, the response he got from the disciples, well, some say you're John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What kind of God is he? He's a God who came into the world to make known the forgiveness of sins and not to fix everything else that's wrong with this world. He came because the world is a lousy place to live. This isn't the world that we're seeing here in Cedar Rapids and every place else that God designed. He designed the world to be full of love and peace and mercy and kindness. And it didn't need forgiveness because nobody sinned. But by man's choice, not God's, the world is now, we see it to be. And it's not just full of natural disasters like we're experiencing here. Would you rather be in Cedar Rapids or Portland right now? I'd rather be in Cedar Rapids, as messed up as it is. Because even though life is hard right now, and again, we're all just exhausted. What's sort of fascinating about the things I've been hearing from people is that people are full of gratitude. Over in Portland, that's not the operative word right now, gratitude. It's anger, it's hatred, it's violence. But even just this morning, as people were arriving, they were telling me about kind neighbors, people willing to sacrifice, that others may be relieved of their burdens. I've done it for my neighbors, they've done it for me. Probably most of you are experiencing the same thing. That's the world that God wanted our world to be. Not full of anger with each other, not tearing things down, but where people exist together in love and joy and forgiveness. Not a world without work. Adam, when he was first created, one of the commands that he received is to work the garden. But a world without sin. And one day God is going to take us to that world to live with him forever. When we look back upon this life that we've had here, though maybe we'll be remembering some of the hard times, it will seem like a blink of an eye versus the eternal joys that we will one day be experiencing guaranteed to us by the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is the hope that we have to proclaim, that we can have that life, because God does indeed love us enough to send his Son, enough to make him suffer, enough to make him die. The words of forgiveness and hope might be proclaimed to our world. And that is the message that the church is about. Since the day the Christian church was founded in Christ, and until now. And so when you're done listening to this, maybe later on today because we couldn't do the live feed, or maybe you're listening to it right now on Uber, or you're seated here in the sanctuary, we will leave here grateful, because we do know who God is. He is a loving and kind and merciful God. He's put people in our lives to help us through these difficult times. And he guarantees to us the fact that one day life is going to get a lot easier. And it will stay that way forever. Because he has forgiven our sins. And for those who place their trust and confidence in this loving and merciful God, will one day live with him in eternal glory and peace and joy and love. Let us keep that hope burning brightly in our hearts. And if you do come across someone who says, "What kind of God lets this happen?" Point to them to the cross and tell them what kind of God he really is. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.